And welcome to From the Hawk's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Bergman, and today my guest is Sam Lathrop, QU's Director of Safety and Security. Sam has been at Quincy University since 2011 and is now counting down the days until retirement this spring. Sam,
that's correct.
Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, before we discuss your years here at Quincy University, let's talk about those experiences that you had before you came to Quincy. You had a wonderful policing career in Beloit, Wisconsin for 32 years, where you served the last six as the chief of police. And then you were a training consultant, and I know you've also done some work with the Army and even were deployed for 6 months in Louisiana and Afghanistan. So tell us about those experiences.
Well, I just finished therapy, Matt, so I don't know if I can, how much of this I can share anymore.
Just the highlights.
Well, Beloit, Wisconsin was the first place that hired me after I finished my school, and it was a great employer. I stayed there for my entire policing career. 32 years I was in Beloit. And I did everything there from patrol officer to patrol sergeant to detective. I played on the SWAT team for several years. I was an administrative sergeant, and I was a captain in all three of the bureaus. And eventually I got promoted to chief the last 6 years of my career there. And in Wisconsin, like many other states, but Wisconsin, you can retire at full retirement with the proper number of service years. As early as age 50. So I left at 52, and I left with an idea but not a plan, which is never really great. But it was good to be away from the policing career. And then a buddy of mine got hired by a consulting firm who was connected with the Department of Defense. And the whole idea was that you get seasoned law enforcement officers to go to Afghanistan and teach policing to either the Afghan National Police Force or the Afghan Army. We worked with both while I was over there. So 6 months in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and it's actually Leesburg, which is just outside of Fort Polk. And I highly recommend that no one ever travel there. It was the longest 6 months of my life, and I actually couldn't wait to get to Afghanistan. That tells you about Leesburg, Louisiana. But we were deployed for 12 months, and while my contract was coming to a conclusion there, I knew I would be looking for other work that I wasn't done working. And I just started looking around for police or police-related stuff, security positions, that kind of thing. I came across, I think it was on Indeed, the security director position here. And my very first conversation with a QU administrator was at 3:30 in the morning local time from a FOB in Afghanistan. We arranged that I was going to be home a few weeks after that. It was middle of October. I came home from Afghanistan. Within 4 days, I think I was here, interviewed. I like to refer to it as the gauntlet. I've been through police chief selection processes that were less than what I went through when I got hired here. And I'm happy to say that my replacement's been chosen, and he had the same experience that I did. it was really it was great. By the first week in November, I hadn't even been home a month. I was down in Quincy and been here ever since, and absolutely love it. Love the university, of course. What else would you expect me to say during the podcast? But I absolutely love the university. Terrific coworkers, and itinerant coworkers is kind of it's not unusual in higher ed. You know, we're a great training ground for education professionals, whether it's professors or support staff, and so I have worked with some really terrific people, and had some really great bosses over the years, And I love being around the students. They're awesome. And 99.5% of them are absolutely no trouble at all. And it's that 1%, 0.5% that you see, the frequent flyers every once in a while. But for the most part, it's been a really, really great employment experience for me, and a really great way to finish out my policing and service career.
Well, in thinking back to all your years in police work and security work, what stands out as maybe one of the most interesting or complicated or, you know, case or project or something you've worked with or on?
Well, I mean, there was, when I was a detective, there were homicide investigations that were really in-depth, long, multiple witnesses. But I have to say, there are few and far between as far as, you know, big events like that here at QU. But in my 13 years here, I have had a handful of very in-depth investigations that rivaled some of the investigations I did when I was a cop. So, like I said, not very often, few and far between. But every once in a while, you catch, you know, a Title IX investigation or a sexual assault investigation that is very intricate, in-depth, involving many people, many witnesses, looking. I can remember a sexual assault investigation I did about 4 years ago where I had easily 20 hours in camera review, just looking through different cameras for different activity. We knew that the suspect had arrived in a vehicle and had left in a vehicle and came back in a vehicle. And there was multiple cameras that actually caught pieces of those travels. So, but you have to watch the video. So, you know, I really enjoyed those kinds of investigations. I felt like the university was getting their money's worth out of me when I had, you know, investigations like that you really have to sink your teeth into and you know, spend some time on.
What do you think you'll miss the most?
Well, you know, since I've lived here, I lived across the street from the university. When I first came, it was actually part of my compensation package. The university provided me with housing. Eventually, I bought our house, my wife and I did, from the university, and we still live across the street and plan to. So it won't be that 2 a.m. phone call asking me to come over and help, or, you know, somebody's sick and they can't cover a shift or whatever. So it won't be that, but I just think the day-to-day, one of the reasons I chose policing and then security is because of the variety. There's every day you have absolutely no, you might have some consistent things that you have to do every day, but every day you never know what that phone call is going to bring, or a student darkens your doorway and has a question or a problem, and you just never know what you're going to get into. And I think that, you know, that kind of variety and that kind of interaction is probably what I'll miss the most.
Why don't you tell us about the day-to-day life of the Director of Safety and Security? You've mentioned, of course, investigations are a key part of that, but what other things go into the job?
Well, there's just a lot of follow-up. So everything that the officers might discover, investigate, or report, any follow-up investigation is pretty much done by the director. And so every day or frequently during the week, there's always a report or something that is going to require, even if it's something mundane. Example, last night we had, it's hard to explain that this student is smart enough to get into university, but still doesn't know how to do a load of laundry. And you'd be surprised at how often this happens during a semester, but packed the washing machine so full. And I watched it on video, so I can tell you it was a full, full basket. Crammed it as hard as they could, crammed that load of laundry. I'm guessing what would normally be for you or me, maybe four loads into this washing machine. And then we're surprised when the alarm went off and the fire department got called because the smoke from the burning belt, trying to turn the drum, you know, caused enough smoke to set the fire alarm off. So obviously not the crime of the century there, but I bet I spend a good 45 minutes this morning going through video and trying to identify, you know, who our student was that loaded that up. And all so that we could just have a conversation with them and say, hey, don't do your laundry like that anymore. And I've been a strong proponent. Student Living Center is my favorite example. Not many people know this, but at the Student Living Center, all of the smoke detectors inside a room, inside of a suite, are all connected to what we call a trouble alarm. In other words, they don't call the fire department. It goes immediately from dispatch, our alarm dispatch people, into the security officer. Hey, suite 112 in the Student Living Center, smoke trouble alarm. Okay. And since I've been here, the 13 years since I've been here, we've never had an actual fire there. It's always been, and bacon is the number one culprit, followed closely by burgers, but bacon is number one. And I have been a strong proponent and made my voice heard. I think in order to live in the SLC, you should take and pass a cooking class. That's just me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not always crimes of the century. But it often is things that require a little follow-up on. And sometimes all we have to do is have a conversation to help those students understand. I was at the SLC last week and met a student who cooked improperly bacon. Everyone's in a hurry to cook bacon. You got to go slow with bacon, and it's worth the wait. It's bacon. Don't burn it.
I'm making a note here. You know, in retirement, I think we could hire you to teach bacon cooking classes.
I am good at bacon, let me tell you.
It's perfect because they can come right over to your house.
That's right.
I can do it on site.
Do the sessions right there. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it's and I advise them, you know, just take your time. You know, it's worth the wait.
And I know something else that you do a lot of throughout the year is compiling all of our statistics when it comes to crime reporting and all that sort of stuff, because those are requirements that a college has to maintain.
Any university or college, technical college in the United States that receives federal money is required by federal law to report their crime and fire statistics annually. We do that, and I've been doing that since I've been here. It takes a little bit of coordination to do that. And we don't write so many reports in a year that, frankly, when I do ours, maybe there's 200 to 250 actual reports but I'll go through each one. I'll go through every single report just to make sure that we're being accurate and transparent, because that's really the whole idea. We want people to know if there's any issues here. We want to know if there's any issues here. So I'm careful about that. And I think I have 6 or 7 pages of notes that I have to share with my successor, and that is definitely going to be one of them. How do we compile those stats every year? And then, you know, there's a lot of zeros, but you know, like I said, it's not that we don't have bad events that happen here. Every university does, but they're few and far between. So we got lots of zeros on that tally, but you always want to make sure that you're being honest and straightforward.
And I know that, you know, security and safety is a concern for parents. I know when we do our discovery days and those types of events, those are often questions the parents always tend to want to ask. I know you, the questions on safety and security, and then our folks in the Quest Center about outcomes and where their student's going to get a job.
Right.
I used to go to those, and nobody had questions for me, so I finally quit going because they only wanted to really know about the outcomes and the safety and security from a parent point of view. So it's important that we, you know, do it and do it right.
Right. And we've been fortunate, at least over the years, we've had really great employees in the security department, just like other departments on campus. But the men and women that work in our division are really safety focused. And they know I always tell the new officers coming in, consider yourself less of rule enforcer and more like a concierge at a really nice hotel. You're here to help the students navigate their way through, answer their questions, be of an assistance. And I always tell the officers, the answer to a student is yes unless you know it's no. So help them out in any way you can, whether that's unlocking their dorm room because they lock their keys in it, or jumping their car, or at 2 o'clock in the morning doing a transport from Brenner Library back to Garner Hall. You know, it's whatever it is, it's all about our students and keeping them safe.
Well, let's take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Sam about his time at QU and some of his favorite moments and memories and plans for retirement. Stay with us. You're listening to From the Hawk's Nest.
QU Hawk fans never have to miss a game. Visit QUHawks.com and click on the Media tab to find the GLVC Sports Network. It's available on both your desktop and mobile tablet devices, as well as 4 over-the-top platforms, including Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, and Apple TV. All live and on-demand archived video is available free of charge. For game schedules and the latest news, visit QUHawks.com and follow Quincy University Hawks on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And welcome back to From the Hawk's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Bergman, and today my guest is Sam Lathrop, QU's current Director of Safety and Security. Been at QU, Sam, since 2011, but retirement is on the horizon. The countdown on your phone has 56 days of today's recording. Of course, this will air a little bit later, but we know it's definitely less than 56.
May 31. So, yes.
Who's counting?
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we are. The rest of us are not, because you have done an absolutely fantastic job here at Quincy University, and we are very lucky to have had you, and you will be missed.
Well, thank you, Matt. Those words mean a lot to me, truly, and it has been a great experience for me as well and for my family. It's really something great. But I know that I'm leaving the department in really terrific hands. That makes me feel really good about leaving, knowing that my successor has been chosen, and I know that he'll do an awesome job here.
And if you're listening from the Quincy area, Quincy region, your successor's name will not surprise people, as he's the recently retired police chief for the city of Quincy, Mr. Rob Copley, and so we're excited to have him on board as well, and excited for the fact that you two will get to work for a month together. That is not something that we often have the luxury of doing.
Right. I attribute that to my boss, Dr. Christine Tracy. She was able to twist those dials in such a way that we were able to make that happen. So I had the office painted. I had the next door office painted. Everything's nice and clean and ready. The carpets have been cleaned. Rob actually starts the first Monday at the end of the month, the 29th of April. And then my last day is May 31. So we'll have a good month together. But my plan is to have him be in the director's office when he comes to work on that Monday. And I'm fortunately, we're laid out in such a way that the adjacent office there's a door between us. And so I'm just going to work there for the last 30 days or so. And I think it'll be an awesome transition. I've got, I think I said, about 6 or 7 pages of notes, things that we need to try to bring them up to speed on. The good thing about this is that I'm not going to Nova Scotia or anything. We're going to retire, and at least I will be. My wife will follow me in probably a year or two. And I'll be right across the street. So it's available and Dr. Tracy's already told me that if they get an investigation or something that needs assistance, you know, I'm just across the street and available. But, you know, my day rate will be a little little more significant.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, obviously you just mentioned your wife. You actually met your wife while on this job.
You know, I have to say I'm a born and raised cheesehead, right? I'm from Wisconsin, born in Wisconsin, went to school in Wisconsin, worked in Wisconsin. I watched the 1967 Ice Bowl with my dad as a 10-year-old in our rec room in Racine. That's a life memory. And so I'm thoroughly indoctrinated in things cheese. And so, growing up and working in Beloit, Beloit's a state line community. So we're right on the southern border of Wisconsin, the northern border of Illinois. There's a road in Beloit that actually the north side of the road is in Wisconsin, huh. And the center line is the state line, huh. And the south side of the road is in Illinois. So I say all that to say we made fun of Illinoisians when I was growing up. That was sport, you know. We just if you were from Illinois, that was a mark against you. And so it, just to prove that God has a sense of humor, he pointed me in the direction, and I ended up working in Illinois. And to this day, I'll say this publicly, I'm about to. I'm not a big, huge fan of Illinois, but I am a giant fan of Quincy. I love Quincy. I love the community. It has so much to offer, and it is generally such an open and welcoming community. And I found that on so many different occasions in so many different ways. So I'm delighted to retire to Quincy, if you want to consider it that way, and really just enjoy this community. Yeah.
Well, Sam, what were some of your favorite memories in the security office over the years?
You know, it's hard to choose just a handful. I could group them. I know that one of my favorite things is sometimes you get those freshmen. Oftentimes it's the guys, but every once in a while there's a freshman gal that come here for the wrong reason. They're getting away from home. They're getting away from direct supervision. They're looking forward to moving into their dorm and wondering when the party starts. That's so they're here for not necessarily the right reason. And you see them start out on a rocky road, and it doesn't take a student like that very long to come up on the security director's radar. And so I guess over the years, my favorite thing is to see a knucklehead who comes in for all the wrong reasons, and then they see the light. And if you have a hand in that, if you have a hand in having conversation with them, if you have a hand in guiding them maybe away from what they're doing and into focusing a little bit more on whether it's a sport or their major or a little bit of both or whatever, and then seeing them 4 years later walk across that stage, there's just nothing better. I mean, you see that, you look at that kid walking across the stage and you think, man, 4 years ago, I'm not sure I would have bet on you, but look at you now, you know, and there's a few of those that are just really heartwarming, you know. Kids that come from maybe not the best home environment, don't have a lot of support, didn't have a lot of guidance, and they find that here in a number of different ways, and it transforms them for the rest of their life. And in many cases, breaks a cycle that may not have been terrific in their family's history. So those are, I think, some of the most endearing moments to me. Heartbreaking moments happen rarely, but those are the ones you remember too. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe my third year here, there's always rumors about old ghosts or that kind of thing here at QU. Lots of great stories. And there was one of our brothers who shall go nameless, Brother Ed. And he told a story about how we had a exorcism chair and we stored it in the fifth floor of Francis Hall. And the fifth floor is the attic, obviously. And so a bunch of drunk freshmen heard this rumor, story, whatever, and they went up to the fifth floor to see if they could get in. They couldn't. Of course, they couldn't gain access to it. But then decided to slide on the banister backwards down from 4 to 3, from 3 to 2, and so forth. And while transversing from floor 4 to 3, one of the students, intoxicated, slipped off the banister and fell about 34 feet and had a head injury, and it was horrible. Yeah. And that was one of those moments that changed their lives forever too. None of the four kids that were present finished. Only one finished that semester. It was October. It was around Halloween. Only one student finished that semester, and none of them ever returned to QU again. And God only knows where they're at today. But that one silly, stupid event, mm-hmm. A bad alcohol event changed those lives forever. And you wonder if you could just back that time clock up and change the activity that night where they might have been or what they might have done. But so those are the ones. The freshman girl who crosses the street on Chestnut, that was my first year here. Would have been the first fall, I think. Spring. That spring, she crossed Chestnut Street and was distracted and got hit by a car and had massive brain trauma. And her life and her family's life was changed forever because no alcohol involved in that, no misbehavior, just a little distracted pedestrian crossing right into the path of a vehicle. So those are the things that you kind of keep in your back pocket as you're watching out for the safety of the kids here. You know, you can't prevent everything bad from happening, but you sure do try.
Well, and I think that speaks to another piece of this job is after both of those incidents you mentioned, then it's time for a review, not just of, you know, from your seat, but from the president's cabinet's, you know, agenda too, as to what could we have done to, you know, have done a better job in preventing this, and what can we do to make it safer for students in the future? In both of those cases, especially in the case of the girl, we still talk about
absolutely
ways we can make crossing the street safer.
Pedestrian safety. Yeah, we've done quite a bit actually, mm-hmm. and with that example in mind, for certain.
What was maybe one of your most challenging issues or things that you've dealt with in your time here?
Well, we had an investigation, would have been maybe about 7 years ago, that it was in-depth, probably 20 different interviews. Eventually, one of the students involved in that investigation leaves the university and embroils the university in a significant lawsuit. Tens of millions of dollars for each of the defendants named, and the good thing is for the university, all of the employees were dismissed from that lawsuit. But I have to, and the university is no longer involved. We've been out of this for a long time, but there's still two combatants in this, and I actually have to give testimony in Springfield on Monday or Tuesday of this next coming week. About that event that took place. So, and I'm trying to remember intricate details and rereading my report, trying to make sure I get everything right. But you know, those are really, you never know when an investigation is going to turn into just this a major headache for the university. And it and this one, I'm happy to say that they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only one that I know of where the university's really been sued for anything significant, but and glad that we're out of it. But still there's two of the players still fighting it out, and now it's finally going to trial, you know, next week.
Well, tell us, what will retirement bring?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I do know that after 45 combined years of policing and security work, I'm ready to try something different. And I've joked a little bit about it, but I'm actually looking into doing a little substitute part-time school bus driving just for, you know, I don't have to make any administrative decisions. I don't have to hire. I don't have to fire. I don't have to develop or train policy. I just get to go to work and do my thing and be dependable and reputable and professional, and then go home. And, you know, I'm thinking if I could do a morning gig, I'm a morning guy. I like getting up in the morning. Do a little morning bus driving gig, you know, 5:30 to 9 o'clock or whatever, and then have the rest of the day to myself and no weekends and no holidays and no summers. Yeah, that sounds like a nice way to get a little beer money and ease myself into retirement.
Well, and I'm sure the second this airs, Quincy Public Schools will be calling because those are positions that are very hard to fill.
I do know that they have continual positions available. So,
yes. Yeah. Well, you should have no problem with that, and I'm sure we could use your services here to drive the sports teams as well.
You know, I've thought of that. How fun would that be to you know?
It would, I think that'd be really fun.
I do too. You know, we've got a big bus, and with the proper training and credentialing, I could definitely be a resource for that.
Go check out new places. Amen. And hang out with. Stay young, hang out with the
watch
the athletes.
I could still watch the games.
Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I think so, too.
Well, Sam, as we wrap up our time here today and your time here at the university, what advice would you share with folks out there?
Well, I think as it relates to safety and security, two things. One, keep your head on a swivel. Whether you're driving, if you're a pedestrian, whatever you're doing, if you get your head out of the electronics for just a little bit, and God, I know I'm sounding like I'm 66 years old. It's because I am. But get your head out of the electronics for just a little bit, because if you can keep aware of your surroundings, you can avoid a lot of heartache and trouble. If you're caught unaware, then you know, you don't have time to react to evil things. So be alert. One of my coworkers back in the police department used to say, always alert, seldom hurt. And I think that there's some truth to that. And the other thing is lock your stuff. You know, it sounds so simple, but listen to this. This is true. In the time that I've been here at QU, in the 13 years, we've never, not once ever had anything stolen from a dorm room or a vehicle on campus when it wasn't locked. So lock your stuff. Get in the habit of securing your things, your house, your apartment, your doors. Keep yourself safe and secure.
Great advice. Sam, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today and for your 13 years of service.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
And be sure to tune in next time for another episode of From the Hawk's Nest, where we talk to Quincy University employees, students, Franciscan friars, and alumni to hear about their QU journey. I'm Matt Bergman, and remember, it's always a great day to be a Hawk.